Good morning. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. And before anything happens this morning, I want to give you some information. Over the past couple of weeks, our sound system has gone, I'm trying to think of the word, and we are in the process of getting that taken care of. We had a gentleman come in and go over our sound system, and he is the one that formulated exactly what's wrong. The whole is his direct communication. So they are giving us an estimate to what all needs to be changed and how much that will cost. I told him that it shouldn't be a problem, and he said it would just be a couple of dollars, and I said that would be wonderful, and the reality is somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000 to fix our sound system. Yeah, y'all had the same face that I did. Fortunately, we were able to find a couple channels on the board that seem to still be working fine, and so we're hoping to get a little bit of time to make some decisions moving forward and get some other estimates. And so we're in that process, and so please walk with us, work with us, and we'll try and do the best we can as we go down this road. We'll keep you in the loop with what's going on, but yeah, fun and frolics, it never stops. Church directory. We want everybody to be in the church directory. So there's these little sheets to fill out that has name, address, phone numbers, anything that you would like to us to put in the directory, like if you want us to have your home phone or if you want a cell phone, that's fine. Just put it on there. And then if you want to give us your birthdays, we do send cards out on birthdays. We have our deaconesses that do a fantastic job of that. And so if we know when that is, we'll celebrate those with you, wedding anniversaries as well. And so keep that in mind and make sure you fill one of these out for the church directory or you'll leave it up to me to guess. And that's not a good thing. Okay, as most of you know, I went to Kenya this past January and was able to teach 10 pastors that were there, and it was just a fantastic time. One of those pastors, his name was Robert. His wife has been having some physical issues for probably the past 2 years. They have finally got things down to... she's allergic to dust. Now, the problem with that, especially in Kenya, is the basic mode of operation is via motorcycle. So dust, motorcycles, and ongoing road construction always with a significant amount of unpaved roads, it just is a mix that doesn't work together. So he began to try and raise enough money to purchase a car. And he needs $900. He raised $500 of it and is in need of $400 more. I found out about this and checked it out through our denomination. And I checked with the deacons this past week, and they gave me permission to go ahead and send him the $400 to take care of his car. This is not a plea for money. Please, we don't need the $400, okay? If you want to give extra, just put it in the offering plate. We'll pass that around here after a bit, and that'll be fine. This isn't a plea for money. We already have that. We have a missions and benevolence fund, and the money's coming out of there to go over to get him his car, and he has enough to keep that rolling. And so I wanted you to know, because this is something we get to celebrate as a congregation, that we're able to help this pastor in Kenya be able to better pastor his congregation as well as help his wife, who's in a really difficult circumstance and situation. And so, yay! Yeah! I mean, that's just awesome. And so, really excited about that. Now, As far as helping people, many of you have heard Sharon Zile. She fell and broke her ankle, and she's still not allowed to put any weight on it. And so we've been kind of helping her out with some meals. And there's a sign-up sheet and some directions on the Welcome Center. If you would be interested in providing a meal for her and for her mom, Dorothy Suter, we would greatly appreciate that. If you need more details, I guess you could see me. You could see Mabel Kirshner and Jackie Degg. I don't see Jackie. Oh, she's in the nursery. God bless you, Jackie, in the nursery. Everyone pray for Jackie in the nursery. No, that's awesome. And so if you need more information, see one of us. But we do need some folks to sign up for that as well. Okay, today we have the dollar offering. The dollar offering is a monthly offering we take up on the third Sunday of the month. The kids take up the offering. We have colored buckets and stuff down front. And it is what we refer to as pandemonium. After the children's sermon, we call it the dollar offering. The reason that it's a dollar offering is if you've got a dollar to give, just wave that dollar. The kids will find you and take your dollar. I mean, it's awesome. And they're not to that place where they can do this in an organized fashion. And not only that, it wouldn't be near as fun if they did. And so we allow that pandemonium. And so when we get to that place, if you've got a dollar to give to the dollar offering, you just wave that and the kids will track you down. We'll help them with that as well. Then the proceeds from the dollar offering go to dig wells, water wells in Bangladesh and India, so that tribes don't have to walk miles and miles to be able to get water. And so we've done a number of wells, but the need is really great. And so that'll be coming up here after a bit as well. We are, on Easter Sunday, we are going to have baptisms as part of our service on Easter. If you or your child is interested in baptism, please let me know. I have four that have shown interest. We'll see how that works. If you are interested, get in touch with me and we'll kind of facilitate that. If you're just not real sure, I put together a little 8-minute video on baptism that's on our YouTube page. Just like if you wanted to watch the sermon again because it was so awesome, you could go to our YouTube page, and if you go down through the things that are offered, you'll see one on baptism, and you can watch that to kind of get an idea of our perspective when it comes to baptism. And then last announcement is the daddy-daughter dance that's going to be Saturday evening here at the church up in the fellowship hall. Woohoo! I can't wait to see this. I have never gotten to see a daddy-daughter dance. And so I'm really excited about being able to be here and helping out however I can, but I want to see this taking place. And so I'm probably more excited than some, but I'm looking forward to Saturday night here at the church. The details are there in your bulletin on that. Prayer requests. I have those that are in the bulletin, obviously. Remember the people in Ukraine and everything that's happening there, as well as an update on my father-in-law, Ray Stephen. He has come home to our house and has taken up residence in the living room and is doing well. And we're really excited about that in the next step in him. He will be staying with us probably from now on, and we're working out the details on that as we go. So thank you for your prayers, and definitely a praise that he's home with us as well. Any announcements or that I've missed? Yeah, Carol. Two prayer requests. The second was a cousin of Carol's that is like 20 and struggling with anorexia. And there's another cousin that has a couple of spots on their back that have diagnosed as having cancer. And so please keep them in your prayers. Did I see another hand? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we gather together in this place to bring you glory. We gather together to lift your name up, and Lord, to sing your praises so that the rocks would need not cry out. And Lord, we gather together because we need one another to lean on and to shore us up and to give us hope in the midst of the struggle. And Lord, just continue to be with us and working and walking in our midst. And Lord, we ask that you would not only hear our prayers, but Lord, that we would understand your response and help us to grow in our relationship with you each and every day. Lord, today we ask for Sharon, and we ask your hand of healing to be upon her. And Lord, enable the bones to knit and gain strength so soon she can begin to put weight on her foot. But Lord, just be with her and her mom and watch over them. Lord, we thank you that the dad was able to come home, and Lord, we celebrate that. And help us, Lord, to be able to take care of him and all the things that are needed. And Lord, we thank you for the good news. And Lord, just continue to watch over us. And Lord, for the cousins of Carol, Lord, we struggle physically, and then we hear the C word, and cancer just grips us. And we just ask, Lord, that your hand of healing would be upon her. And Lord, work whatever means are possible, whatever means that it is your desire to enable this individual to overcome the cancer, whether that's through the treatments. And Lord, just be with them as they find out the news this week of how things are going to move forward. We ask you to be there in the midst and have your hand upon them. For this young girl, Lord, when we fight against our culture that tells us so many things about our outward appearance, and Lord, when we begin to believe that and we look at ourselves and we can never be happy with what we see, we need you close. And Lord, we ask that your hand would be upon this young girl, and Lord, you would surround her with your love with such an intensity that she can know it's not about what's on the outside. It's what's on our inside. And Lord, just wrap her with your love and be with her family and give them the right words to say at the right moments and just shower them with your love. And Lord, walk with us as a congregation. And Lord, hear our hearts as we cry out to you. And Lord, come and meet us where we are and give us the courage and the strength that we need to take another step closer to you. Be with us as we worship you this day. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we're going to have our hand of fellowship. Encourage you to shake hands, bump fists, tap elbows, or smile at the people around you. Let's take a minute or two.
Good morning. Invite you to stand and we'll start our time of singing. Our first song is called "I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me." It's a neat little chorus. We haven't sung it in here for quite a while, but I'm sure you'll catch on. Maestro, please. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. I was sinking down, Jesus lifted me. I was sinking down, Jesus lifted me. I was sinking down, and Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, you're in fine voice this morning. Now join us in singing Calvary Covers It All. Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace when I look on the face of his Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete, I then found feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. You may be seated.
Kids, want to come on down? Okay. There's some on the second row. Can we get some back here on the second row? Can we make it work? Or we can sit down front, half full. We have to build a bigger church. We need bigger sound system, bigger everything. You know, do you guys do things that are competitive? Do you guys do that? I found a trophy. It was in the hallway, and it's a softball trophy, and it got loose. Did you ever have that problem with your trophies? They get loose. Yeah, and then when you go to put them back together, they don't line up. Then the guy's facing the wrong. But getting the trophy is fun. The trophy just represents that time when you were competing and did you win or lose? You win. It's fun to get a trophy when you win. See, in the Bible, there was the first competition that we know of, and it happened between a man by the name of Elijah and the bunch of people who believed in a different god, and their god was named Baal, B-A-A-L. They were even lousy at spelling, huh? Yeah. And so Elijah said that God was better than their god. And so he challenged them to a competition. He said, here's what we'll do. We'll build an altar, and we'll put our sacrifice on it, and then you all pray to your God to light the fire. And so they said, sure. And they all got ready, and they did all the stuff that they were supposed to do so that their God Baal would send fire down. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. So it was Elijah's turn to pray and to see if God would send down fire from heaven. But he said, you know what? Let's make sure that nobody can say it was accident. So he had them dig a moat around the altar, and then they dumped barrels of water over top of it to make sure there was no way that there was any question about whether or not God would light the fire. And Moses prayed. And he said, God, here we are. And he said, I need you to light up the works here because I want the people to see that you are God and Baal is not. Now, that's kind of the Arne Kaufman translation of what Elijah prayed there, but that's pretty much what he said. And at that moment, the sky opened up and fire came down from heaven. And not only did it burn the sacrifice, it burned the altar and evaporated all the water that was around it. God was having no question about who won, who gets the trophy. You see, we need to understand in our world, too, that God loves us, that he's always there. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen fire come down from heaven and consume everything that was in the front of the church. And I'm not sure that it's God that's playing silly games with our sound system. But I do know this. I do know that God loves us a lot and that he's always there for us. And he is the one, the true God. So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, we know you've done pretty amazing things in the past. And Lord, we know you still do pretty amazing things. And so, Lord, we put our faith in you. We ask that we would know you more and more and better because we know you are the true God. Watch over us, Lord. Amen. Okay, you can go. You have to get a bucket. As the center aisle becomes clear, we're going to take up a more organized offering. John is going to come and sing for us as we receive our offering this morning. If our ushers would please come forward. Well, let's pray together. Our Father and our God, it is good to laugh. It is good to enjoy the children as they wandered around the sanctuary receiving an offering, and that's just so awesome. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to be with and walk with us, because we understand that an offering is that dedication that we have to you and how it works out in our lives. And Lord, because of the offerings, there are things we're able to do to further your kingdom. And we just praise you for what you're doing in our midst. And just help us, Lord, to continue to keep our eyes fixed upon you, the author and finisher of our faith. And may your blessing be upon this offering. Amen.
When I walk through the door, I felt his presence, and I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple Jehovah God abides in. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in his presence. There is joy beyond measure, and at his feet, peace of mind can still be found. Or if you have a need, I know he has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for you are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Praise Jesus now, for we are standing in his presence on holy. Standing in standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence. Oh, standing in His presence. We are standing.
You know, John, that just fits right in with what we're going to be talking about this morning. Listening in the wilderness, those times, those difficulties, those struggles that we have in life, and how can we make sure our connection to God is really where we want it to be. And so in just a second, John, I'm going to read the scripture from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 13 to kind of get us started. But in order to kind of get the scripture, we're starting in the middle of a story. And so I wanted to kind of round it out a little bit for you before we get rolling. Now, at this point, Elijah had just finished the challenge that we heard with the children this morning, that he was having the confrontation with the prophets of Baal. We know that fire rained down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice and the water and everything that was part of that to show there was no question, there was no doubt about which God was real. Now, at the result of that, what happened, especially in those days, if you lost a competition like that, then they would go through and the competition was obliterated. And so all the prophets of Baal were put to the death because the God that they served lost. And so that just happened. And then this mighty act of God occurs. And then Elijah, this just blows my mind. This is just one of the interesting things in Scripture. We have all of this happen. Fire down from heaven. All this done. Wiping out all the opposition. The prophets of Baal are all put to the sword. And what's the next thing that Elijah does? He takes off running to get away from Queen Jezebel. Really? God just rained down fire from heaven and you're doing the coot and scoot. I mean, you're just boogieing out of there like Queen Jezebel is more powerful than Baal, more powerful than the God that rained down fire from heaven. I just don't get it, Elijah. You blow me away. But I think because of that, we're able to learn some things that maybe we would have never been able to learn another way. So let's pick up the story. 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." And the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountain, tore it apart, and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Now after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Kind of a cool story. Kind of unique of God actually speaking, having a conversation with somebody. And I think it's important to understand the way in which God spoke to Elijah is not always the way that he speaks to us. As a matter of fact, it's usually quite different. The hard thing about God speaking is we don't often hear his voice as clear as we hear those around us from day to day. And we have to learn to discern the voice of the Good Shepherd over the cacophony of other voices that we hear in our daily lives. So this morning, John, if you want to put the next one up, I have misplaced my clicker. It's all my fault. I did it, and I don't know where I set it. But if we're really going to learn how to listen in the wilderness, we need to learn to discern. Now, if you were here last week, we talked a little bit about David and how he had patience when it came to being the king of Israel. He was anointed, but his time had not come yet. And we focused on how he had patience and how he had spent time in his relationship with God, and it had grown to the point that he understood God. He didn't always know why God did what he did, but he knew that he wanted to follow God, and so he was able to do that. We ended the sermon talking about Romans chapter 12 and how if we separate ourselves, if we go and give ourselves to God, crawl upon the altar of sacrifice, that God accepts us. And by the renewing of our heart and our mind, we're drawn closer in relationship to him, that we will know what his perfect will for our lives are. You see, there is a learning curve when it comes to being able to discern what God is saying, what God is telling us. It takes time, and that time is that being with God. Now, a couple of months ago, I talked about three things. We had to know. We had to know God. There's an intellectual part, a connection that we make with God. We know about him. And then we have to be with him. So we have to know God so that we can be with God. The being is the hardest part because there's a lot of things I can test my knowledge, but I can't test my being with God. And I encourage you to take time out and make sure on a regular basis that you commune with God until all the voices of the earth stop. And I shared that sometimes that may even take days for that to really happen, to be with God until everything else stops and you can just be with the God that loves us. And that's important to be doing on a regular basis, being with the God that loves us, because it's in the being that we begin to learn to discern his voice. Elijah had been with God. He'd prayed to God. God sent down fire from heaven. We're talking, he brought out the big guns there. Even though Elijah was afraid, and he goes and he hides in a cave, he's connected with God. He may not be being obedient at the moment, but he's connecting to God, and that connection, that opportunity for intimacy with God was there. We need that on an ongoing basis, that discernment. To discern means to judge well. The goal of obtaining and maintaining spiritual guidance and understanding. Basically, discernment gives us the ability to say, that's God's voice. That's not God. That's not God. That's not God. That's not God. That's God. And to be able to understand and to know what God sounds like and is like, the things that he would say or wouldn't say. Now, there's a certain amount of knowledge that's part of that. We need to be in the Word. We need to be studying what God has given to us. Oftentimes, we say to one another, well, I wish God would speak to me. Well, he already has. He wrote it in black and white, and we just refuse to read it. We need to be in God's Word that it might speak to us and assist us in making the everyday decisions in life. And that connection, as we learn the things that God has said in his Word, we're able to spend time with God. We know this is something that God would do. I love my wife. I think she's pretty awesome. And one of the things that I love about being married, and we've been married for 10 years, 20 years, 30, a long time, and not near long enough, though, please. But one of the things that occurs is I know Lynn so well, I generally know what she's going to say before she ever opens her mouth. I may not get each word correct, but I know. I know if I go to Lynn and I say, honey, I'd like to buy a new gun, I know what she's going to say. She doesn't have to open her mouth, really. And actually, right now I wouldn't even ask. And we can have that same relationship with God when we're used to being in his presence, when we learn how he talks and the things that he says and what he's written in his word. Many, many times I know the answer before I even ask. We need to develop that relationship to know and to be with God so that when the time comes to do, we know what God desires and the doing will line up with his desires. We talked about that last week also in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. See, Elijah was in the wilderness, and so many times we get in those situations, it doesn't really matter how great Sunday was, Monday still comes. And sometimes even when Sunday is great, Monday is enough that, it just seems like there's enough joy suckers in the world that they can just suck you dry just that quick sometimes. And without that ongoing relationship with God, we can find ourselves, in essence, in a cave in the middle of the desert going, I don't even know how I got here. But everything out there is just too scary. Elijah just needed to be with the God that loved him, even though he was hiding from the very one that wanted to know him more. The second thing this morning, that if we're going to learn to listen in the wilderness, we have to be receptive. This is probably the hardest part. This is probably the part that I struggle with the most. I'll just be honest as a pastor. We have to be receptive. And to be receptive means I have to be open. So in order to be open, I have to be willing to be rude. I have to be willing to not be correct. I have to be willing to be wrong. I have to be willing to go, you know what? I played a role. I need to be willing to take ownership for whatever it is. I've never been in a situation in my life where I didn't have a part to play in it. Never. And there's been a lot of times when I've gone, look, I have been on the receiving end of this, God. I didn't do nothing. They attacked. I felt like Ukraine. I mean, they just come out of the wilderness and attacked, and there was nothing I could do. And it's generally in those moments that God says, well, just hold on a second. Before we get to the other guy, let's talk about some things. Every time I've had a part to play. And until I'm receptive of taking ownership of the part that I have to play, God's really not interested in working with the other guy. Or at least not talking about that part of it. He always starts with me. And so I am learning that I need to be receptive. I need to be willing to sometimes step outside of my box and go, okay, I don't like this, but if this is where you're leading, God, I'll walk. I don't like the terrain. Elijah outside that cave knew that there was wilderness. He wasn't too thrilled about going out there. He liked it in the cave. And God says, I'm going to speak to you. And he came past the cave three different times before Elijah walked out. Because Elijah was waiting for God to speak to him. And there was a mighty wind and rocks were flying around. I don't know about you, but that made me nervous. I'm not sure that I can handle talking to a God that's speaking that way. And then the next thing, there was wind, fire. Oh, earthquake. Okay, the rocks flying around. Okay, then there was an earthquake. Now, I'm claustrophobic, and being inside a cave during an earthquake, I don't know whether I could have stayed in there or not. But God wasn't in the shaking of the earth. Then there was fire, and God wasn't in the fire. There was a gentle whisper, and I found in my life, when I need God the most, it's the gentle whisper that he speaks. And the problem that I have is being able to discern which one of those whispers, which one of those things that are talking to me and trying to get my attention. How do I get the things that are not God set off to the side that I can focus on him? I need to discern God's voice and then be receptive to what he has to say to me. One of the most important lessons we learn is when everything goes wrong and everything else is gone, it's then that we're most ready to receive. Down in the valley, the fire came down from heaven, consumed. Elijah was the superhero of the day. But if you delve a little deeper into the story, you find out that Elijah thought he was the last man standing. Elijah thought that there was no one else. He was the last follower of God. And so even in that situation, and it was a great day, and wonderful things were happening on that great day, he remembered the day before. And he also knew that not all the enemies had been taken care of. They were still out there. This was a wonderful day, but we're fighting a war, not a battle. Won the battle, concerned about the war. He didn't want the last prophet to be taken out. And so he runs. And a lot of times we as individuals in our lives, we run away. And it's not that it's terrible if you run away. It's that we need to be focused on the God that loves us. And sometimes we're supposed to run away, but sometimes we're supposed to stand firm. And we need to be receptive to what God is saying so that we know which one we're supposed to do. To be in the wilderness. Because the third thing this morning, in order to listen in the wilderness, we need to respond. I don't know how it is in school today. I'm finding out I'm getting to that age when my memories of school are from bygone era and has nothing to do with how it is today. But I know that the best way that I have learned over the years is to be taught something, and then I have to use it or I lose it. And one of the things that was so important in my younger years was the practicality. Yeah, I never did understand calculus. Still can't get there from here. I don't know why it's there. But it is. It must serve a purpose. But I can't get it. Trigonometry, second only to calculus. And on, there's a lot of things that I just couldn't get because I couldn't do anything with it. And I think a lot of times we read our Bibles and we go, that's nice. And we put our Bibles down and we walk away. This morning in membership class, we were talking about the Great Commission a little bit, and I do a little tirade on the Great Commission because I think the definition of a word has changed in English, and the word is go. Now, the problem is, in the Great Commission, it says, go and make disciples. Okay? I love that phrase. I think that's dead on with what we as Christians need to be doing. But the difficulty is we don't understand go. We really don't. When we think go, it means I'm thinking if I'm going to go someplace, I'm going to go to Ukraine. I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to go to Korea. You know, I'm going to go. And we lose the fact that that's really just one small part of what was trying to be communicated. And I'd like to, if you take out your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28 and just scratch out the word go and write this in. Write in, as you are going. Because it seems to me that we live our lives on an ongoing basis. And we are to share Jesus with people as we live our lives. And so it should encompass every part of our lives, whether we're selling Q-tips, Girl Scout cookies, whether we're playing T-ball, softball, football, golf, or any other ball, whether we're waiting in line at Walmart or the gas station or watching the neighbor's kids in our backyard shaking our heads. Whatever we find ourselves doing, as we are doing it, as we are going, make disciples. Just take Jesus with you. Now, sometimes being as we're going in the line at Walmart means you stand there with your lips together and you wait your turn. Okay. Sometimes you're there in the same line and you notice there's a family behind you and the kids are being really cute, so you turn around and go, nice kids. Other times you might actually, I don't know, buy the kids behind you a stick of gum. Whatever it is, sometimes as you are going, you're able to share something about Jesus. I just happen to have a VBS flyer in my pocket. Would you like one? Or whatever it happens to be, as we are going, we are to respond. God looked at Elijah and he says, why are you here? Why are you here? Obvious to me is the fact that God wanted him someplace else. That Elijah had not connected to God, and so he didn't know where he was supposed to be, and he ended up in a cave. And the time had come for him to reconnect with God and then have a response of that reconnection, that realization, I'm supposed to be someplace else, and then get there. You see, you have to not only connect with God, you got to be able to hear him. You got to be able to discern his voice. You got to be willing to take ownership of what is going on and to be able to listen to what he has to say, because he'll tell us where we need to be. And often, where we need to be is not where we are. And it goes both ways. And just let me say this quickly. There's times when God has said, Pastor, you're doing a great job, but if you don't stop, I'm going to take you out. And I really mean that. If you don't stop, I'm going to take you out. And I remember looking at God and saying, that's not something God would say. I spent the next 3 days on the couch because I couldn't get off the couch. And I think if I'd have said, okay, God, I'll stop. What do you want me to do? And done that, I wouldn't have got sick. And that happens in my life, and I'm getting better at hearing that. And I'm in a time, in one of those cycles in my life where there's a lot going on and I need to be very close, because I'm waiting for that message to say, Arnie, it's time, you better stop or else. And I'm trying to work rest into my routine, and it's not easy, but it needs to be done, because I really want to listen to the God that loves me. because he loves me. And just like Elijah, I don't want to wake up in a cave someplace and God saying, why are you here? I want to be where God wants me to be. And God can say, in the midst of the turmoil, I need you to lay down beside the quiet water and go to sleep, take a nap. And I'm going to say, God, but everything's going on. And he said, that's okay, I'll take care of that, you nap. And I have found that when God says that, when I nap, it's much better. And I'm learning how to do that, but I have to be willing to respond to what he has to say. Because just like sometimes he says, Arnie, you have to stop, sometimes he goes, Arnie, what are you doing? Can you hear me? And I stop, and I focus, and I hear, and I go, oh, it's time to be someplace else, and then work towards getting there. Are we willing to allow ourselves to be in the desert so that we can take the time to listen, to discern his voice, to make sure our connection with him is what it needs to be, that we can take responsibility for what's going on and our part in it, so that he can direct our path, that we might respond to the God that loves us and keep moving forward. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you're doing, and Lord, we just ask that you would continue to be with and walk with us. And Lord, we want to connect to you. We want to have that. We get that. We've heard it over and over, but it's harder to do. So help us to know about you, to be with you, that in our doing, we might share your love with the world that needs to hear. So Lord, come and draw close to us and prepare our hearts for what you have in store, and help us to discern your voice, and help us to respond to your love. Watch over us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our closing song, Jesus Calls Us.
Jesus calls us on the tumult of life's lies, while restless sea, day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
As we continue to walk through the wilderness, those difficult times in life, may God draw close to us. May we discern his voice, respond to him, and do all that he asks. Amen.